Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
Glad you could be with us for this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry. And with me today is Eric Johnson, my colleague at MRM. Last week, we were looking at the Mormon doctrine of baptism for the dead and why this is an important rite that all faithful Latter-day Saints are encouraged to participate in. And we gave you several quotations from Mormon leaders as to what this rite is all about. So if you've missed that, I encourage you to go to the website and certainly listen to those past broadcasts to kind of bring you up to speed if you've missed those. The reason why it's important is Joseph Smith said that Latter-day Saints who neglect baptism for the dead on behalf of their deceased relatives do it at the peril of their own salvation. He said, "The greatest responsibility in this world that God has placed upon us is to seek after our dead." And of course, Mormons, as we explained, have taken the verse 1 Corinthians 15:29, "Else what shall they do which are baptized for the dead? If the dead rise not at all, why are they then baptized for the dead?" as their primary proof text to support this particular teaching. And as we demonstrated, the fact that Paul uses third person, "Else what shall they do," seems to show that he was excluded from this practice. He was talking about somebody. We don't know exactly who, and we don't even know exactly what they were doing. But the Mormons, of course, say they do, and they have spent literally hundreds of millions of dollars building temples and doing research work, genealogical work, to find out who their dead ancestors are in order for them to be able to go to these temples and to practice this vicarious baptism rite.
They get baptized as living people on behalf of these other people, yes, and giving those other people the ability to hear the gospel and possibly be able to accept it.
I think that's important to state because a lot of people, when they first hear about this, they wonder, baptism for the dead, they think there's actually a corpse involved, and certainly that is not the case at all. Yep. So certainly put that rumor to rest right now. 14th President Howard Hunter had something to say about this. Why don't you read his quote, Eric?
Yes, it's in the Ensign Magazine, March 2004, page 41. He said, "Furthermore, the dead are anxiously waiting for the Latter-day Saints to search out their names and then go into the temples to officiate in their behalf, that they may be liberated from their prison house in the spirit world."
Now, we should point out that just because a Latter-day Saint goes to a Mormon temple and is baptized on behalf of someone who has died, it does not guarantee that the deceased automatically will become a Mormon in the spirit world. They do have the freedom, according to Mormon doctrine, to either accept what work has been done on their behalf, or they can reject it. And as we explained, if they heard about Mormonism and rejected it in mortality, and then find themselves to be dead, and then someone is baptized on their behalf, they will be ministered to by what Mormons have referred to as spirit missionaries, and they will be told about the restored gospel of Joseph Smith and given an opportunity to embrace it in the spirit world. If they do, they will then be assigned to what's known as the terrestrial kingdom, the second level of Mormon heaven. If they still reject it in the spirit world, they will be assigned to the celestial kingdom. In neither case will they be allowed, if they had the opportunity to hear it in this life and rejected it, they will not have the opportunity to go into the celestial kingdom or become a god, as Mormons hope to become gods in the next life.
Mormons are very big on the idea of what's called free agency. Mm-hmm. And so in this world, they realize that everybody's been given the choice. We all had that choice in the pre-existence and pre-mortality to whether or not to accept Christ or to accept Lucifer. And in this life, we have that choice. And they believe free agency, in essence, continues on in the next life, that you will have that freedom. Nobody's going to force you to do that.
To support what Eric has just said, let me read from a book called Be Thou an Example, page 131. That was written by Gordon B. Hinckley, the 15th president of the Mormon Church. He said, "In the spirit world, they then are free to accept or reject those earthly ordinances performed for them, including baptism, marriage, and the sealing of family relationships. There must be no compulsion in the work of the Lord, but there must be opportunity. So here he is very clearly saying that this idea of free agency, as understood by the Latter-day Saints, still operates in the next life. Just because someone has been baptized by proxy does not guarantee that those individuals have become Mormons in the next life. Now, I'm certain that most Latter-day Saints hope so.
Well, you would kind of expect it, as you said last week on a show, Bill, that if you get visited by missionaries and you're sitting in spirit prison, you sure as heck are going to go ahead and accept that message, regardless of how much you may have disagreed with Mormonism on this life.
Yeah, there would be no faith element involved. I mean, it would be a no-brainer. Good grief. If they're Mormons up here, then I must have been wrong during my lifetime. I better get it right now.
Right.
How much sincerity would be behind my decision?
See, out of a bad situation.
In other words, it becomes more out of pragmatism, doesn't it? Not really out of a sincere wanting to believe that. It's like, I better do it, otherwise I know what's going to end up for me. I'm going to end up in the celestial kingdom. Obviously, in Mormonism, the terrestrial is a better choice than that. So I'm doing it mainly out of pragmatism and not because I have a sincere desire to believe really anything that a Mormon is supposed to believe during this mortality. Now, when they talk about the dead are anxiously awaiting Latter-day Saints to search out their names and be baptized on their behalf, let's talk about some of the people that have actually been baptized by proxy. It's quite a list. You can imagine that the Mormons have been doing this for so many years that they have accumulated quite an impressive list of people who have been baptized vicariously.
And even with that, they have only baptized on behalf of the dead, just a fraction of the world's population. It's going to be in the millennium, the Mormon leaders have said, when they're going to be able to finish this. But it's just been a fraction. But the names we're going to read are obviously pretty big names.
It's quite a who's who. There's good guys and bad guys in this. You might say that they're equal opportunity baptizers in the Mormon church. There's been some real bad guys that have been baptized, and there's been some pretty good people that have been baptized. And take, for instance, Napoleon Bonaparte. Napoleon Bonaparte was very questionable as a leader of France in the 19th century, but now we have to assume that he has been baptized by proxy and had the opportunity to become a Mormon.
Christopher Columbus was obviously a pretty big name in 1492. I think he sailed some kind of an ocean blue. And
Wasn't 93 where he sailed the deep blue sea?
I guess not. But Columbus and Edward Gibbon, historian and author of The Decline and Fall of the Roman Empire, has been baptized for.
We have Washington Irving, who is a famous author. He was also baptized by proxy. And then we have Thomas Jonathan Stonewall Jackson.
That fries your...
That really fries me, because I've read the history of Jackson, and I've read about his campaigns during the Civil War, and he was a very strong, strong Presbyterian and a very strong Christian believer. It's hard for me to believe that Jackson would become a Mormon.
Well, we got to visit his house just last year, Bill, and we were back east, and they made a big point as they talked about as we went through the house of how very Presbyterian he was.
We even visited where his arm is buried.
That's so right. We have a picture.
How many people have seen that?
So. David Livingston, the Christian missionary. I mean, here he's out proclaiming the gospel, and he's been baptized for.
Lord Horatio Nelson, the Battle of Trafalgar. He's also now, we assume, had the opportunity to be a Mormon in the next life.
Sir Walter Scott, a Scottish novelist and poet, has been baptized for.
And then we have William Henry Seward, Seward's Folly. What was that, the purchase of Alaska,
if I remember
my history correctly.
Quite a deal, but at the time he was criticized for throwing away money. And what a great investment that was.
No kidding. John Wesley, the Christian evangelist and pastor. And what's funny about this is when you study John Wesley's life, he actually had a lot of beliefs before his conversion, his warm experience that I think he refers to at Aldersgate. He actually believed very similar to Mormons prior to that conversion, and that thinking he had to be good enough in order to warrant the favor of God, the salvation of God. So he's also been baptized by proxy.
Well, in 1877, they decided to go ahead and get baptized for all of the U.S. presidents.
Up
to that time. There were a couple that they didn't do.
Right. James Buchanan, Martin Van Buren. So they had to wait a while until the 20th century before finally somebody was baptized on their behalf. And the reason being is because Mormons were not too happy with how James Buchanan and Martin Van Buren treated the Latter-day Saints during that time. So it would take several years before someone would finally, I guess, get over that grudge. I don't know why they waited so long, but now they all have been.
John Adams and John Quincy Adams' wives have been baptized for. Those men were presidents. Well, Abigail Adams and Louise Adams have both had their work done. And Dwight Eisenhower, U.S. president, has been taken care of.
Patrick Henry, give me liberty or give me death. He's also been baptized by proxy. As well as Abraham Lincoln, the 16th president of the United States. He's also been baptized by proxy.
Paul Revere, the American patriot and silversmith, and William Shakespeare, the playwright from England, and Leo Tolstoy, Russian novelist of all.
His was War and Peace, was it not?
Yeah.
Quite a thick book there. Those are a lot of historical figures, but the Mormons have, they've also been baptized for a number of celebrities in more recent times. For instance, Charlie Chaplin, Marilyn Monroe, Rita Hayworth, and also Princess Diana Spencer after her death. She was baptized by proxy. So probably many Mormons believe that she is now converted over to Mormonism in the spirit world as well. And then we have Ted Bundy. Certainly bad guy, okay? Serial killer Ted Bundy. Timothy McVeigh, who was responsible for killing 168 people in the Oklahoma City bombing. Injured 800 more in the Oklahoma City bombing. Somebody felt to go and be baptized for them. And, of course, we cannot forget Adolf Hitler.
That one is on our website. They can actually go see the baptismal record of that.
Adolf Hitler, as well as Joseph Mengele. I'm sure there's several other of Adolf Hitler's henchmen, as they would be referred to, have also been baptized by proxy. And the Mormons are doing this not out of any type of animosity towards these people. Certainly, they do feel that this is a positive aspect, and that's why they do it for these people. That they are actually doing it out of what they would probably say is the goodness of their heart, giving them an opportunity to embrace Mormonism in the spirit world. But the most controversial are the Holocaust victims, and we're going to talk about that in tomorrow's show.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism. The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, known as the Mormon Church, is a huge topic in the state where we live. Oftentimes, we may feel frustrated in understanding what is perceived to be the state religion. If you are a Latter-day Saint who needs some honest answers to your questions, or perhaps you're a Christian who wants to be better informed about the predominant religion in this culture, Mormonism Research Ministry wants to be your resource on truth. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry founder Bill McKeever has worked hard to equip people to understand the differences between Mormonism and the historic Christian faith. At www.mrm.org, we have an active blog site, dozens of articles and video tools that will educate you in a variety of ways. Or perhaps your church needs to schedule Mormonism Research Ministry to come for a live presentation to equip your church body to be ambassadors for Christ. Let us know what we can do for you. Contact us through our website. Again, mrm.org. We're here for you.